भूर्भुवस्वः तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। शांति शांति शांति। चरण कमल पर शीश नमाऊं, अर्पण करूं तुझे नमस्कार। भक्ति भाव की ये सुरमाला कर लेना बाबा स्वीकार, कर लेना बाबा स्वीकार। साई बाबा सकल भुवन के दाता, साई बाबा सकल भुवन के दाता। ओ साई बाबा सकल भुवन के दाता, रूप मनोहर कमलाकांता, रूप मनोहर कमलाकांता, युगावतार साई बाबा दया करो प्रति बाबा, युगावतार साई बाबा दया करो प्रति बाबा। शिरडी पर थी हृदय निवासी, शिरडी पर थी हृदय निवासी, प्रशांति सुंदर साई, प्रशांति सुंदर साई, प्रशांति सुंदर साई।
If you look at the history of Prashanti Nilayam, the history of this place, the history of this Prashanti which Sai built for all of us, it goes back to a story, it goes back to a legend, wherein one day one of the cows had gone into the pastures. Puttaparthi earlier was called Golapalli, which means a place meant for cows and cowherds, just like the Vrindavan of the times of Lord Krishna. And Puttaparthi was known for its bounty, where there are cows and where there is lot of milk and honey and green pastures. That is a place, fertile land, so that is a place of prosperity and bounty. Puttaparthi was known for its good harvest, for its good cattle, for its well-endowed people, and that is how it was called Golapalli. And as the story goes, as revealed by Bhagavan, this cow one day returns to her master, and when the master is milking the cow, it finds that the cow's udders are empty, and master is very worried. He feels, what happened to the cow? Where is her milk gone? And that is when he feels that I have to investigate. And we know the story of how the next day, so the master of this cow follows as the cow goes along with the herd to the pastures, and there the master notices after a while it suddenly moves out of the herd, and quietly the cow takes on a different route. And when no one is sort of watching, that cow starts walking, and she is walking in a hurry. She is walking over hillocks and rough ground and stones and pebbles, but she is desperate towards her goal. And so she goes and finally stops at a location. What is there in that location? There is a ant hill in that location. And so the master, who was surreptitiously following the cow, notices that his mysterious cow was now on to an adventure. And he notices that finally the cow has stopped, and she has stopped in front of an anthill. And then he watches, now what is going to happen? Why did the cow pause there? And then the master notices that out of that anthill came a snake. And this snake very quietly balanced itself and slowly rose higher and higher and higher till it could latch on to the udder of the cow. And then the snake was happily fed by the cow. And the moment the master noticed this, he was enraged. So what is this? So this is the culprit. This snake is what is causing my milk to disappear. I cannot stand this. What authority does this snake have to take away my milk? And so he picks a stone and he throws the stone with such an aim, with such velocity and with such rage and with such anger, that the stone hits the snake, and it hits like a ton of bricks, and the snake just falls. The snake collapses, and the snake, as they say, just before its instant death, the snake leaves out a curse. And the curse is that this place where people do not have the heart to help another being, this place where even though God has endowed them with so much of prosperity, there are people who cannot stand to give a little of what they think belongs to them. This place does not deserve to have the prosperity and the bounty of God. If your hearts are restricted, if your hearts are small, what right do you have to experience the bounty and the large-heartedness of the Lord? And so the snake, they say, curses that this place will now be filled with antlers. It will become dry, it will become barren, and people will experience that lovelessness that he was made to experience. And that is how the story goes about how this place turned from that day into a land where green pastures disappeared and the place was filled with antlers. And the place was so filled with antlers and snakes that the place became all of mud. And slowly, rains became scarce, greenery disappeared, and once greenery disappeared, cows did not find food, so the cow population reduced, and the only thing the place saw was this incessant mushrooming of antlers, and that is how people no more call this place as Golapalli, because there was no semblance of that Vrindavan of earlier time. There was no semblance of that bounty and that richness and the greenness of cows and cowherds, because the cows disappeared. This place, which was a place blessed by God, became a God-forsaken place because it was filled with only antlers. And there was only multiplication of ants and snakes. And so people thought it is no longer apt to call this place Golapalli, so they called this place Puttavardhini. Because the place where putta means antel, where there is a proliferation of antels, Puttavardhini. And slowly the antels also grew to such an extent that after a point, even that did not happen because the ants did not find food. So after a while, it was even hostile for ants. And so it was no more a place where there was a growth of even antels. So it is just a place not where there is proliferation of antels, but a place where there are antels. So it was called Puttaparthi, no more Puttavardhini. So that is how the place came to be called what we know of it today. But this happened many, many decades ago, and when the situation of this place turned so drastically, the elders of the village, they were very worried. They used to think about their times. All the older generation, they were all the time thinking about the beautiful days of Prashantinilayam. Of course, Prashantinilayam had not yet come up then, the beautiful days of Golapalli. And this led to a lot of introspection by the village elders. It's very interesting, you know, what one act of cruelty can do. It was just one act of mindlessness, one act of hate. Of this one person, he just could not tolerate sharing a little milk that he felt belongs to him. He could have done many things. He could have found out what is the problem. We don't know whether maybe the snake was injured. Maybe the snake needed that much of help. Maybe there is something about this cow, because this cow is a nice cow who served him so well. For some reason, it is going and serving that snake. So maybe there is a reason. Maybe he would have been satisfied with a little lesser milk, or maybe he would have given some milk. Maybe you could have gone and given some milk to that snake. There could have been a million reasons what he could have thought, but he did not think. The only thing he thought is, how can I part with milk that belongs to me? And immediately threw the stone. And just imagine the repercussion of one act of hate. Imagine the repercussion of one act of lovelessness. Golapalli turned to Puttaparthi. That's why it is so very important. So Swami said, you know, whether you do anything or not, if you cannot be benevolent, at least don't be malevolent. Don't hurt. If you don't do good, no problem. Just ensure that you are not hurting anyone. Because you do not know what repercussion you are inviting to yourself when you hurt someone. So, The village elders thought deeply about it. They were all the time pained when they used to see the plight of this village. People were running away from this place. And they thought, you know, what we did was wrong. We should not have killed that snake. And for this, the whole village, the whole community has to repent. We have to do something so that we make it known to the Almighty that we repent for this act of cruelty. And so they thought of that stone. For some strange reason, that stone was still preserved. And that stone had the marks of blood. There were those red stains on that stone. It was such a powerful hit on the snake. And so someone located this stone, and now the village elder said, now we know what we have to do. There are blood stains on the stone. We will have to do self-introspection. So we will shed tears of repentance and wash this stone with our tears. We will wash away our sins of hate by our tears of forgiveness to destiny. And so from that day, they started this practice of looking after that stone, washing that stone every day, washing it with their tears. And that's how that practice started in the village, to always hold that stone with great reverence. Because that stone always reminded them that we cannot be hateful. That stone reminded them that if there is an opportunity to love, we have to love. Whether it's steak, whether it is cow, whether it is a pigeon, whether it is an antel. That stone reminded them that if we make our hearts a stone, our life will become a stone. Everything around us will convert into a stone. So it was such a reminder of practicing that principle of love that they took to looking after that stone as if it is their heart. And so their practice started of worshipping that stone slowly. So every day no one would begin their practice in the village. No one would begin their occupation. No one would go to the fields. No one would go to their workplaces without actually paying their obeisance to that stone and worshipping that stone. And slowly everyone and everything in the village revolved around that stone. It almost attained that stature of God, because everyone who went there, they were feeling cleansed. Because if they went there, they used to think about destiny. They used to think about how they should behave. And because of that moment of self-introspection, they were doing good. They were feeling peaceful. They were learning to love. And so someone then said, no, we cannot let that stone be like this. Let's build a shelter for that stone. And that's how a small tiny wee temple came up. And that stone began to be worshipped. Everything in the village was centered on that stone. They would not do any sacred task without going to that stone and offering their prostrations. And what do? When you go to a temple, you go to a temple, as Bhagwan says, you travel miles and miles and go to a temple. But finally, when you go to a temple, when you're in front of the idol, what do? You close your eyes. Why do you close your eyes? I mean, you've spent so much money and you've gone to the temple. Why do you finally close your eyes? Because he's inside. That peace that you want is only inside. That is just a symbol. That's just a medium. The whole journey is the pilgrimage. So that is what was happening. The villagers are feeling so peaceful in front of that stone that they started worshipping that. So a temple came up. And so for years and years, people started worshipping that stone. It became the village deity. And after doing this for decades, someone, while washing the stone, noticed something very interesting. One day, when he was cleaning that stone, he noticed that on the obverse side of the stone, on the other side of the stone, very interestingly, there is a carving of the image of Krishna resting on a cow and a flute on his lips. It is a very mysterious occurrence. It was just a stone. How did the stone have an inscription of Krishna? Swami says, do not think of God as a stone, but think of stone as God. If you think of stone as God, that stone will become God. But just because you think of the stone as God, do not think that God is a stone. Faith is to see things that are invisible and achieve things that are incredible and experience things that are seemingly impossible. That is what faith can do. Faith is to believe in things that you do not see. And the reward of faith is to see things that you believe. The reward of faith is you will see the things that you believe. Because you started with believing in things that you do not see. And so that is what they believed, that this is sacred. Because their faith was so strong, now God went to that extent of letting them know, yes, if you think this stone is God, I will show it to you. Yes, this stone is God. Definitely it is God. When God permeates in every atom of this universe, what is there for me to show you that, yeah, there is God here? If you believe that, it is that. That is the beauty of Indian culture, isn't it? For us, everything is God. A tree can be God, a snake can be God, a creeper can be God, tortoise can be God, everything is God. You don't ask, where is God, where is God? You ask, where is he not? Everywhere. He's there everywhere, because anything can be raised to the status of God. It all depends on what effort you put in, how much faith you put in. Anything, if tomorrow I start worshipping this fan is God, that's it. The fan is actually doing a fantastic job of giving me cool air now. If I believe this is God, this will behave like God. I will probably see the Sudarshana Chakra inscribed in it. Anything is possible. I mean, that is what faith can do. And that's what happened. A stone became a figure of Krishna, and that is how you have the temple in Prashantinilayam village today, the Venu Gopala Swami temple. So the people started worshipping now the stone as the Venu Gopala Swami shrine. So if you see the history of Prashantinilayam, the genesis of Prashantinilayam is this faith. Everything begins with faith. The bedrock of spirituality is faith. And when Bhagwan was asked, Swami, does experience come first or does faith come first? Because someone says, you know, how can I have faith if I don't have experience? Only when I experience, I will have faith. Swami says, do you say that I will first learn swimming and then jump into water? You have to first jump into the water, then you will learn to swim. Everything begins with faith. So the bedrock of spirituality is faith. And see where faith can take you. 1969, the Guru Purnima celebrations was over, and Mr. Raman Rao was one of the senior Sevadal members. So this is the 60s, the Sevadal organization had just started, and Mr. Raman Rao belongs to the first batch of Sevadal when Bhagwan started the All India Satya Sai Seva organizations. He's still there now, he's over 90, and he lives in West 1. So after the Guru Purnima celebrations were over, Mr. Raman Rao wanted to return to Hyderabad, where he was working in the office of the drug controller of Andhra Pradesh. So when he asked permission from Bhagwan to leave, Swami said, oh, you have to go. You just wait. You see, on September 29th, I am performing the Shashti Purti of Bhagwantam. Dr. Bhagwantam in those days was Bhagwan's translator. He was the scientific advisor to the government of India, to the Prime Minister. Very distinguished person and a great literator. His translations of Bhagwan's discourses were impeccable. One of the best translators of Bhagwan's discourses over the years. So Swami said, I want to perform his Shashti Purti. In Indian culture, when the husband crosses the age of 60, what is performed is a spiritual remarriage. So from then on, it is a spiritual journey for the couple. And Bhagwan used to perform these Shashti Purti ceremonies for couples. So Swami said that on September 29th, I want to perform the Shashti Purti of Bhagwantam. There will be a lot of work here in Prashanthi Nilayam. So can you come to make all those arrangements? Ramanrao was ecstatic because he felt Swami so pleased with me. He gave me the chance to serve during Guru Purnima, and now he's so happy with my work. He's giving me another task. So he said, definitely, Swami, I will be here in Prashanthi Nilayam on 28th morning itself, one day before. Swami said, very good. And so he left and he immediately booked his tickets, train tickets, to leave Hyderabad on 27th evening. And he told his wife, we will go together. Swami will be very happy. Swami was inquiring about you also. So let's go together. It's a Shashti Purti ceremony. Swami will be very happy. So wife said, okay. So he booked the tickets on 27th night. On 27th morning, when he reaches office, 27th September 1969, there is a circular on his table. The director of his division has sent the circular saying that no one should move from their offices from 28th September till 30th September because the health budget is going to be discussed in the assembly, and the director of the Division of Drug Controller of Andhra Pradesh, he is asked to be present in the parliament. So there could be questions at any moment about anything on earth. So no one should move away from office, and especially senior officers, in no condition can leave the office. So this is the message that he gets on 27th morning. And he is the senior officer there next to the director. And so he does not know what to do. Raman Rao goes to his friend and colleague, John, and he tells him, see, I have to go to Prashanthi Nilayam. Swami has asked me. He said, come on, don't tell me these stories. Every time you go to Prashanthi Nilayam, we do not know when you are going to come back. The budget session was on 30th morning. So he is supposed to prepare all the information that is required and accompany the director to the parliament on 30th September. So he says, see, on 29th is the Shashti Purti. I will ask Swami on that evening. 29th evening, I will ask Swami. And I will take the train on 29th evening and I will come back on 30th morning. I will go with the director. You just hold the fort till I come. And just as they are discussing, there is another letter from the director which says, all the questions for which they should be prepared with answers. All the questions that could come up in the budget session, health budget session. So he says, see, I will prepare all the answers. John, please understand, I have to go. He says, every time you went to Prashanthi Nilayam, you never came on time. Once you go there, you will tell, Baba has told me this and that is happening. I am waiting and I can't be left here high and dry and I can't face the music of the director. This is too much. You cannot go. He says, see, I have to go. Say, you cannot. So Raman Rao says, see, I'll prepare all the answers. You just send these answers and you tell the director, I will be there on 30th morning. I will go with him to the parliament. Because John was not only a colleague, but also his classmate and a childhood friend. So he somehow agreed. And so on 27th morning, he left. 28th morning, along with his wife, he came to Prashanthi Nilayam. And Swami saw him. Swami is very happy. So we have come. And so Swami gave the instructions for the performance of the Shashti Purti. The program went on very well. Swami was very happy. So on 29th, after the morning program was over, they were having lunch. It was sumptuous lunch. Everyone was very happy. So he thought he will take this opportunity and he will tell Swami. Swami, assembly session is there. So he got up to try to tell Swami. Swami, evening I will go, Swami, assembly session. Swami said, you're going. Just wait. I have another important job to give you. And so he thought, wow. Okay, let me wait evening. I mean, Swami is so happy with me. He wants to give another job. Which means, you know, Swami is so pleased with my service. You know, how can you miss this opportunity? Swami is telling I'll give you another job. So he tells his wife, you know, just let's hold on. So he thinks, okay, this is a lunchtime, Swami said. So 29th evening, so I will ask Swami. 29th evening, darshan time, he's trying to approach Swami. And Swami just evades him and goes off to the interview room. And that is when he doesn't know what to do. 30th morning, he has to be there. He has to go with the director to the parliament, to the assembly. Swami did not tell anything. So, he stays on. The 30th morning, he says, okay, somehow I will ask Swami on 30th morning. So, 30th morning, desperately he is seeking Bhagwan's attention.
Beda paar karo mere sai, udhaar karo mere baba, beda paar karo mere sai.
So 30th morning, he's trying to get Bhagwan's attention. Bhagwan does not look at him. And he goes back to his room and his wife says, let's move. It is your job. You're going to lose your job. He says, no, I cannot go. How can I go? Swami said, he'll give me an important job. He said, what important job? You're going to lose your job. Come on, man. He says, no, I cannot go. So they stay on 30th. Evening darshan, let's try one more chance. 30th evening, again, he becomes transparent to Swami. Swami talks to the person next to him. Swami talks to the person right to him. Swami does not look at him. October 1st. Now, just before he left, on 27th evening, before he took the train, there was this phone call from his director saying, I just now received a call from the Central Drug Authority, New Delhi, that they want to do an inspection of our factories. So, the Central Drug Inspector wants to do the inspection on October 1st and he will stay on. October 2nd is Gandhi Jayanti. So, he will stay on October 2nd and he will do the rest of the inspection on October 3rd. And the director said, you are my best employee, you are the senior most employee and I want you to accompany the Central Drug Controller. So, he was to accompany the Central Drug Controller on October 1st. And on October 3rd, in those days, all the central government employees, all the government employees had to write a Hindi exam. At that point in time, there was this rule that if you do not pass the Hindi exam, then your promotions could be at risk. There was a time when, because Hindi is the national language, they wanted all the South Indian states, also everyone to be familiar with Hindi. And Mr. Raman Rao had written the Hindi exam. There was an oral exam which was fixed on October 3rd. And now he had two things. On October 3rd, he had to attend the oral exam. He was also supposed to attend to the Central Drug Administrator, take him around. So what he told John is, you know, John, I have to go for this Hindi exam, otherwise my promotions will not happen. You take care of him on October 3rd. So this was the arrangement that he had done with John. October 1st, anyway, he'll be back on September 30th. He will go to the assembly. October 1st, he will look after the Central Drug Controller. October 2nd is Gandhi Jayanti. October 3rd, he will go for the Hindi oral test and he will ask John to stand in place of him. So this was the plan which was completely being systematically destroyed day by day by Swami at Prashantinilayam. September 30th is over. October 1st, incidentally, also is his birthday. It is the most torturous birthday for him. You are in Prashantinilayam, not a moment of peace. You come home and your wife screams at you. Your wife thinks you are the most useless husband because you have told your wife that we'll go for one day. So the wife has come with two saris. He says, what is this? First of all, you told me that it is for one day. Day after tomorrow, we are coming back. I have got only two saris and you're just extending your stay. We had our children. You asked that we should leave our children in your brother's home. We left our children there. What will they think? You leave them for 2 days and go on staying for 4 days. What will they think of us? And then you said, no, Swami also wanted me to come. Swami likes me and all that. Since the time I have come, Swami has not even looked at me. So you cannot go home. Your birthday is completely a volcano. If you go to your room, it is a volcano. You come to Mandir, it is a torture. It is another hell because Swami, everybody talks to you, doesn't look at you. You are the person most in need of His grace, and this is the time it chooses not to look at you. The most forgettable birthday of his life. I know how birthdays can be heavens of ecstasy as well as disasters worse than hell. Especially when Bhagwan is there. I remember student days. Birthdays are great moments to go to Swami because you'll go with your tray and all that. If Swami blesses, then it is nothing like it. You come to the hostel and you know, you're in the 17th heaven. You give treat and pictures, photographs, everything happens. And you know, it is the most fantastic day of your life. But if Swami doesn't bless for any reason, you know, that's it. That whole day is a complete hellish experience. Because there is no joy. That is the day you want to smile. Everybody comes and wishes you happy birthday and you don't want even want to smile. Now, what is the point? It's like, you know, if God smiles at you, the whole world smiles at you. If God doesn't smile at you, no one cares for you. What is the point of having all these cashews and everything? Swami has not blessed. The day Swami blesses, that is my birthday. That's how it should happen. People will come again. Students will come. Whichever day Swami blesses, that is the day my birthday. That's it. Sometimes, you know, Swami would be busy. There could be festivals, there could be functions. So our birthdays was never the birthdays the day we were born. We were born the day Swami blessed us. Those were the days which we celebrated as our birthdays. So, October 1st for Mr. Raman Rao was a drought. And by now, he just completely lost. It was a lifeless existence. You cannot go to your room. You cannot look at your wife's face. You cannot go to Mandir. Swami also does not want to look at your face. If you open your mouth, here in Mandir, Swami runs away. If you open your mouth at home, your wife becomes a volcano. October 2nd also passed. And like this, you know, now he had resigned to his cruel fate. October 3rd arrived. He said, now over. October 3rd also, my Hindi exam also gone. Now the central drug administrator would have come and I am not there. Those are not days of mobile phones in 1960s. So the boss would have definitely by now fired me. So anyway, what is there in my life now? So if I'm just hanging on like a recluse, if God also does not want me, what else do I have to do in life? My family will obviously disown me. I don't have a job. Who will want me? So every day he would sit there and try to get Bhagwan's attention and Bhagwan would not look at him. October 5th, darshan time, Swami suddenly notices him. Oh, Raman Rao, you are here? You didn't go? He's like, Swami, come on. I mean, you can't do this to me. What do you mean you didn't go? It's Swami, you cannot tell. Come on, you can't do this. I mean, how can you tell this? Do you have any clue what you have done with my life? You can't tell all that to Swami, no? Tell Swami, you said you'll give me a job, Swami. One important job you have for me, you said. Oh, that job. Oh, that's why you didn't go. It's like, Swami, come on. You're playing with my life. Swami said, that one? No, that's a very small job. See, that V.K. Rao is there. No, I had to give him a letter. So this Balram devotee was there. He was going to Hyderabad. So that day I gave it to him. What? Swami said, oh, for that reason you stayed back. If it was anyone else, you would have been like, come on, man, I'm going to kill you now. And Swami says, oh, papam. Meanwhile, his other brother had come with his wife and little kid for Aksharabhyasam of their little one, their little daughter. They wanted Swami to do Aksharabhyasam. Swami said, Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, sanchayatma vinashyati. This is the only thing Swami said. If you have that earnestness, you will be granted wisdom. You will be granted grace. If you have doubt, you will perish. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam, sanchayatma vinashyati. Then Swami just mentioned this and Swami said, tomorrow you call, your brother has come, call them for interview. I'll talk to them. Call your wife also. And so the next day, they all go into the interview room. Swami does the Aksharabhyasam of the little girl Padma. And even before the wife could tell anything, Swami narrates everything, all the praises that the wife has showered on the husband in the last 5 days, everything Swami narrates. So the wife is very calm now. And Swami knows the weakness. Swami showers her with saris and vibhuti and everything. So she is completely appeased and very happy. And then Swami calls them for lunch. So they dine with Swami. And then Swami says, you're not going to office, go back to your office. Tell Swami, whenever you tell, now what is left, office, job, whatever you tell, I will do, Swami. Swami said, no, you go. He blesses them and so they leave that evening. So the next day, when he steps into the office, everyone looks at him as if he's a ghost. It's like, from which planet are you coming? I mean, do you know that you have a job? Do you know that there are important assignments given? Do you know that you can actually risk your life and position and everything? So nobody talks to him. So he just walks and there is absolute silence. Like everyone is just looking at him with like wide eyes. Who are you? So now he goes to his only friend and confidant, John. And he tells John, what happened, yeah? How did the budget session go? Did you give those answers? John says, that budget session took so long that they did not discuss about our department only. So our questions only did not come up. So there is no problem about that. So no one missed you actually. Oh, wow. What happened to the drug controller? October 1st, did you take him around? No. The drug controller, I don't know what happened. Suddenly, he postponed his trip. He said he is coming on August 3rd. Oh, wow. Fantastic. Anyway, now my promotion is gone because I've missed the Hindi oral test. He said, our minister, Narasimha Rao, not the Prime Minister, there was another Narasimha Rao. You didn't know? That minister passed away. So they cancelled all the exams. And now they said that whoever has not done oral exam, no more oral exam. Whoever has passed the written test, passes the test. That's it. And you have passed. Because you have passed the written test. And Raman Rao was like, Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam. If you have that much faith, it can convert a stone into God. Anything can happen. God can go to any extent. For the prayer of a single devotee. Maybe that was the best time for the minister to die. We don't know. But I'm just saying. You don't know how God will plan everything. He will just rearrange that universe just for a single devotee. And it will be perfect for every person. You don't know. No? Every time it is like one thing that he does. There are a million things happening. And it will be perfect for a million people. It will be the perfect thing that would have happened for the minister. That would be the perfect thing that would have happened for the Hindi oral test. That would be the perfect thing that would have happened for John. Just that you have to trust him so much. So now, the final barrier to cross. Said how to approach the director now. How to go to the director's office. You ask for one day and then happily you stay on for 6 days. Now, how to get your leave sanctioned? He was expecting the moment he goes, you know, he will just shout at him. So, he goes with his leave application form into the cabin of the director. And at that point in time, the director is on a phone call from the health minister. At that time, the health minister was Rajkumari Amrit Kaur. So she was online with his boss. His name is Raj Bhushan. And the minister was congratulating his boss for the successful implementation of a health program that this department had done in the last 6 months. The minister was so happy that she was going on and on congratulating his boss, and his boss was so happy, so joyous that he's being congratulated by none other than the Minister of Health herself, that when he placed this application form, the leave application form, even before looking at him, she just signed. And even as he was talking on the phone, our man came out of the room. Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam. I remember Mr. Ram Brahman was the caretaker of the Vrindavan ashram many years ago. One day he gave the wedding card of his granddaughter to Bhagwan. It was a fortnight away. And the fantastic servitor of Bhagwan that he was, he did not tell Swami anything. Swami, I want to go, or give me permission to go, nothing. He just showed that invitation letter to Bhagwan. Swami said, very good, very good. Swami gave prasadam. Swami told, you should go for this. Your granddaughter, she loves you so much. You should go for this wedding. So, okay, so. And so, a week passed, 10 days passed. He has to go to Guntur from Bangalore in those days. Sometime, I think this somewhere in the 80s, late 70s, 80s. So, you need at least 1 or 2 days to go to Guntur from Bangalore. So, 2 days are left for this wedding. Swami had told, you go. But Swami is now not telling anything. 1 day left for the wedding. Swami is giving him instructions about everything else, but not a word about the wedding. They are asking him, are you coming? Are you coming? On the day of the wedding, Swami asked Ram Brahman, hey, Ram Brahman, today wedding, no? You didn't go? But Swami, if you really wanted me to go, you would have told me 2 days before. The very fact that you are telling me today, which means you don't want me to go, I am okay, Swami. Swami looked around at the people and Swami said, this is the sign of a true devotee. This is the sign of a true devotee. You leave everything in God's hands with complete surrender. The bedrock of spirituality is faith. And the bedrock of faith is fortitude. Whatever happens, everything is prasadam. If something beautiful happens, obviously you praise the Lord. But if something unpleasant happens, you do not think that, no, what happened? How can God do this to me? I have done so much. Every day I go for bhajans. Every day I do seva. Every day I am doing this. How can God do this to me? This is highly unfair. I don't deserve this. I mean, that person is not doing even 1/10 of what I am doing. And look at how great life is enjoying. I am doing everything. Sacrificed so much. Left everything and came to Prashantinilayam. This is what I am experiencing. That is not faith. Whatever it may be, if anything unpleasant happens also, you think, oh, this is the best thing to have happened to me. There cannot be anything better than what has happened to me in this very moment. If all the time we are in that frame of mind, that is what is faith. This morning, I was actually jogging. I was listening to a conversation, a radio show conversation with Professor Nanjundaya, which my colleague Sister Karuna had done. And suddenly there is a call, very interestingly, from Nanjundaya sir. And he said, Vishu, my wife is not well. She has some pains and I have to take her to the hospital today. I was supposed to speak today. Can you please go and do it on my behalf? And the topic that I had given is faith and surrender. I immediately said, yes, sir. And I thought, this is the best thing to happen to me. That's it. For today, there cannot be anything greater than this as a sign. This moment, if I'm talking, this is the best thing. If you're listening now, this is the best thing to happen to you. Of the so many people who wanted to come today, if there are 50 people who are here, this is the best thing to have happened to the 50 people. And this is the best thing to have happened to me in the last 1 hour. If suppose at 10:25, the PRO would have called me and said, Vishu, Nanjundaya sir was supposed to speak. He is not coming. But actually, you know what? I had fixed up another speaker. So I'm sorry. Is it okay? Can that other speaker speak? I would have told, okay, fine. Well, that is the best thing to happen to me at that point in time. Maybe all I needed to do was to prepare for the talk. Maybe the talk I am supposed to give somewhere, some other time. Okay, that's fine. I would have just gone to office and worked quietly. So, the bedrock of faith is fortitude. Whatever happens, happens for my good. And the fruit of fortitude is, Swami says, peace. The fruit of fortitude. Once you have that kind of fortitude, you will always be in peace. You will always be in Prashanti, wherever you are. This place is meant to train us towards that Prashanti. We started the journey of Puttaparthi. It started with faith. And Puttaparthi today is Prashantinilayam. It is the journey of all of us. Once it starts with faith, we will reach the state of Prashanti. But actually, the journey does not start from there. To me, it seems the bedrock of spirituality is faith, but the bedrock of spirituality is Sai. Because until he wills, even that first step towards faith will not happen. If you see all our lives, even though we have to take that step towards faith, because of so many people, if there is this handful of people who are taken that step towards faith, taken that one step, if you take the journey of so many devotees, in mysterious circumstances, Swami would have entered their lives. So at some point, Bhagwan entered their lives. So I feel it starts with that prayer. So the bedrock of spirituality is Sai. The bedrock of Prashanti is Sai. It all begins with that. His grace should be there. And for that, for His grace to come, we should have done good karmas. That's why Swami always said, be good, see good, do good. You have to build that punya balam. You have to build that punya dhanam so that you can welcome the grace of God to yourself. And once that is there, then once that name of God is planted, then you can water it with faith and fence it with fortitude. The flower will be that fortitude, and that fortitude will then become that fruit of peace. It becomes the fruit of Prashanti. Prashanti Sundara Sai, Sai Baba, Sakala Bhuvane Ke Data, Sai Baba, Sakala Bhuvane Ke Data. Sai Baba, Sakala Bhuvane Ke Da. He is the master orchestrator of our lives. Let us always surrender so that our will merges into His will, and what only remains is that one will, omni will. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Samasta loka sukhino bhavant. Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. Om shanti shanti shanti.